Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Here we go now.
Cougs are taking on Drake on Thursday. Joining us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline, it is head coach of Wazoo Men's Basketball, Kyle Smith. Coach, how's it going?
That's going great. A little busy, but it's great.
I was going to say, you got a busy week ahead. We're all very, very excited for Thursday. And God, you guys are have had such a special season. And I'm going to go ahead and start by asking a question that, for me, the answer is no, but maybe you feel differently. Did you see this season coming?
Yes and no, I'd say. I knew we were pretty talented, but I also know how hard it is to put a team together in this new era so quickly and how they go through the experiences and that. And I knew they had a good chemistry just working with them in the summer. And I said, I tried to diffuse the situation. I said, listen, I've been doing this for 31 years. I think we have NCAA tournament talent. And I said, if we don't get there, put it on me. I said, listen, maybe we'll have a chance here. And someone commented last year that coach, I don't want you to be the best coach that's never made NCAA tournaments. So I said, oh my gosh, this is what Phil Mickelson went through before. I said, I never knew that was a thing. So maybe put a little pressure on myself and the team and really tried to tune it out. But we got some, nice wins and we're getting better and really did some good things. And hopefully we can keep extending the season.
Coach, as always, go Cougs. Got to open it up with that right there, man. Hope you're having a good day. I look at the successful teams at Washington State, no matter the sport, there's a certain type of coach that has to be there to understand, the nature of the beast out there in the wheat fields. Man, how would you describe your coach's style? Because all we get are kind of these snippets of you. Probably should ask a player, but since we got you here, I want to just ask you, man, how would you describe your coaching style?
That's a great question. And I agree. You probably should talk to the players, but I think just something I wanted to do. I don't see it as a choice to be coaching. It's kind of a vocation and I'm a relationship driven guy. So, and I always tell them my why is this, I want to empower people to empower others and empower themselves so that you understand we want guys with great attitudes, great work ethic, and guys who really want to be here. I just harp on those things all the time. So, and it's more of a character development program. We just display our character through basketball. So that's the style. And it's more driven. And everyone talks about the analytics and how we do basketball stuff, but any great coach or good coach, I think you have to inspire them some way and you have to be connected with them. There has to be an emotional connection. So, and I know I could be a little stoic and maybe the players don't feel that as much, but I do care a lot about them. And I lead with my heart, and as you get older, you're either going to get prickly and bitter or you're going to soften up a little bit. And I'm getting older and more wiser. And I think when you let them know you love them, I think that helps a lot.
It's so funny you say that. And I think of my dad who used to hunt all the time. And now he's just like in love with animals and gardening. I'm like, what happened? you just soften up.
Oh, man, I got I have three sons and we finally added a nice silver lab, my girl, Bella. Yeah. I take her for long walks. my wife's dog Lenny gets left out sometimes. That's how it goes. So there's something to that. So I think that's just part of the competitive, still very competitive, but also having a little perspective age. And so I don't know if I answered the ideal style of coaching, but a little bit of what we're doing here, why I think we're successful, or we're just building the culture and building the guys.
You guys are in the tourney, so at this point it doesn't matter what happened at the end of the regular season. But obviously there's probably some stuff that you want to clean up a bit. Can you tell me a bit, in that final stretch of six games or so, some things you guys are hoping to tighten up before you head to Thursday?
I think we're ball handling. We've been all year, we were a team that was considered average about 10 turnovers a game. We've just been turning it over. I think it's some of the playing with the pressure, a little of fatigue, taking best shots from teams and not being – just making that transition from being the hunter to the hunted. And we've got some, three freshmen that are in our top eight and play a lot of minutes, and Miles Rice being one, and played them a lot of minutes. So I think hopefully got to get freshened up, and it's hard mentally and physically this time of year. So that would be, you know, he's worked so hard at it, and you know, he's been struggling a little bit shooting the ball, but he's so important to us. It's hard for me to take him out. It's like Colorado, we it's a close game. We turned over 19 times, and it wasn't him. We had a bunch of them, and we defended well enough to win, and we rebounded well enough to win, and we just shot it well and you know, decent, and took care of the ball, we've been okay. But that's been a little bit of our bugaboo. And maybe just playing someone out of our league might help us on neutral. We'll see. But there'll be a lot of people busting over from Des Moines, Iowa to Omaha, I'm sure.
Coach, it's been a long time since the Cougs were in the tournament. I was in college back in those days, man, 07 and 08. So I appreciate y'all for that. But I went back and I looked at those teams, and there's a few things that were common with this team is that we had some length back then, right? You got Aaron Baines and the gang over there. Now, you guys have one of the tallest, if not the tallest roster in the nation. Was this part of your strategy when constructing this roster, or did that kind of happen organically?
Well, we always try. Our philosophy is like NBA GMs is like, let's, on our talent acquisition, let's just get the best talent we can, and then we'll figure it out. You know, hopefully we can coach them up. And it just, it worked out that way in a little bit. Like Isaac Jones, we thought he might be just our center, but then Ruben and Oscar got here, and we're like, it was good. It was a good thing. Three of our best players, these big guys, I said, we're going to have to go big at the four and play Isaac there and utilize him as a mismatch, and that just gives, and any one of the best indicators of being good defensively is length, period. We're not quick. We're not that quick. We don't force a lot of turnovers, but we're hard to score over at the rim, and we run you off the three a little bit. That's a little bit since we've been here, is just making sure we get high major size, make sure that length and size that you're competitive there. So we just, like I said, smoke them if you got them. That's what we got.
Coach, it's a really, I'm glad that Bump mentioned that length and that height. It's a really weird first round matchup. I mean, with Drake, one of the smaller teams, obviously they've been really hot though, winning something like 9 of their last 10 or 10 of the last 11, their last 5. Tell me a bit more about this matchup in particular with these guys.
They're really well coached. I think they're number one in the country at keeping people off the offensive boards, and that's a strength of ours. So anytime I see that, I say, oh, these guys have good habits, good discipline. I've watched them. They understand who they are and what they're about, and they have one of the best players in college basketball, coaches, DeVries. So he's a phenomenal, just a good basketball player. He reminds me of a little more skilled, a little less athletic Keon Brooks. He's a tough matchup for us. He's about 6'8", and he can play all over the floor. He bangs shots from deep. He makes mid-range. He's crafty, and he's a good passer. So they know who they are, and he's kind of the straw that stirs the drink. And then they get a big center, and then they just got a lot of guys that play incredibly hard. They defend, and they shoot. They space the floor because they have so much shooting out there. So there's not really anyone that – I'm trying to think someone to compare them to that we play, and there's not, our league is so big. And a little bit about UW, as far as like, as I said, like they could go small and put Brooks at the four, and that's kind of what they look like, and they're hard to guard too.
The big dance, man, it's a big stage. I remember in 2007, we were preparing to play Auburn at Auburn, and I go, man, what, 90,000? I played in front of 90,000. It's nothing, right? Then you show up, and it's a different 90,000. I'm like, all right, this is the Southern 90,000. How are you preparing your guys for the big stage? Are players coming in and talking to them? Just mentally, how are you getting these dudes ready?
No, the best thing is like just getting their schedule and just telling them there's going to be a lot of attention. Try to embrace it. I think lap it up a little bit with that. Don't be shocked by how much. You got to enjoy it a little bit. And then actually the NCAA, though this one might be because they're close to Des Moines, it'll probably be a little more pro Drake crowd unless our Cougs fans really rally up and get out to Omaha. But the neutral crowd is not as – it's a little more playing like a vacuum in these NCAA terms. NIT games are crazy. And, you know, you're on the road, you're playing someone, if they have draw well, it'd be crazy. But they're usually split crowds. They're usually not – so it's like this big neutral environment. The officiating is a little better because they're trying to get to the Final Four. So there's a little sterile quality to it, but it's obviously a very big stage. Like everyone in the country is watching your game. So we'll see how we respond. We haven't been in too many situations like that. And I don't know, we can talk about it, but I still think experience is the best teacher. So hopefully we handled it well. First time I went as an assistant, I remember we walked into halftime down a few because I think we're a little wide-eyed. So that I'll draw on that experience that we just got to try to lock in. And Trey, we won in Arizona. So we know what a big stage and a tough environment is. And this is just an NCAA tournament. It's just another game. It's how we got to approach it.
You've got so many great stories from each of these guys. I mean, from Miles Rice. I mean, everyone. There's always something that you can look and you can say, what a season from this guy. Here's what he did. Is there anyone in particular, any one of your guys, where you say, God, he's grown so much from start to finish?
Well, you eliminated the one that's pretty obvious, Miles.
I know.
It's hard. It's hard to even fathom what he's done and how he really has improved throughout the year and been so important to us. Isaac Jones has been, he's an all-league player, and he just quietly goes about his business. He's from Spanaway and local, in-state guy, and we're really proud of it. But to go from Idaho, that was about 300, ranked in KenPom, where he's a good player, to play on the NCAA tournament team and be our leading scorer and be our all-league guys is pretty impressive. I don't think he played against a high major team till we got to Mississippi State this year. And he's obviously very talented, but there's a process to compete against those type guys. And he's just he's so quiet and understated. I don't talk about him enough. And how he's been to elevate this program. And he's probably right there. Him and Miles have both just kept getting better. And they're really unselfish guys. So that helps a lot.
It's been just fun to watch you guys throughout the year. And you know how this game goes, right? Any sport, beginning of the year, you're going through your training camp and the goal is to win a title and get into the dance. And everyone has that goal. But then you rack off 14 conference wins in a row. Was there a moment during that win when you were thinking, all right, this is real, right? We have our goals, but I really feel like this is attainable now.
It wasn't until I'm the wet blanket on our staff. It's like, we're not talking about it till I think when we finally, when we beat UCLA at home and we were like 14-5, I said, I think we're safe. I was like, what are you talking about? I said, I think they can't take it from us now. I think we're okay. But you kind of have to bear down. You can't. It's true. It's like, we're on to the next, and you celebrate your wins, you move on, and you flush your losses when you have them. And there was a couple moments. I really, preseason, we beat Boise. I know they're a really good team. And that kind of, because we played Mississippi State close and they're good. I said, okay, we got a chance, but we need to get a pickup. We need to know we can do it. And we beat Boise right before Christmas. And I thought that gave us some confidence. And then obviously beating Arizona at home took us to another level. And we just, and like I said, I think you mentioned earlier, the last six, we've had a couple duds, to be honest. And, I think there's good teams. Colorado's really good. You have to play well to beat them. You can't, that we got to remember who we are, how we got here. It's easier said than done. You got to do it. And we'll keep harping on it and hopefully keep improving.
You guys have accomplished something really special this year. And look, a new journey is just beginning, right? On Thursday, it's a step towards a brand new journey. And coach, I have to ask this, or I wouldn't be doing my job. Would you like to sign an extension with Washington State and coach the Cougs beyond this season?
Yeah, we're working on it. They're putting something together and want to make sure that we can still sustain this level. Obviously going through the transition, but that's okay. We love Pullman. I got a ninth grade son, and so I got ninth, seventh, and fourth grade, and we love living here, and it's been great for our family. So once a Coug, always a Coug. So we're working on it.
I am telling you right now, there are Cougs. Bump is grinning from ear to ear, but there are Cougs listening right now, including my entire fantasy football thread, that are screaming, go Cougs, at the radio. So they just lost their minds, I'm sure.
Funny.
Coach, congratulations on what you guys have done. I know you would tell us it's not done yet, so we'll tune in Thursday, and best of luck to you guys.
Okay. Thanks, Coach. Go Cougs.
Yeah, go Cougs. See you guys.
Let's get to headline rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
We must make headlines.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacy.
Headline number one, speaking of those Cougs, they're going to their first NCAA tournament since 2008. They take on number 10 seed Drake on Thursday night. What's the real headline?
Coug fans actually have a reason to get drunk on a weekday this time.
Let's go.
You know what a reason is? Waking up.
Yeah.
Waking
living
up.
Living my life.
Breathing air.
Opening my
being
eyes.
Being grateful. God.
Yeah, man. Yeah, let's get her done, Cougs. This is a fun time for us. Man, 2008. I was in college the last time my dudes went dancing. This is a big moment for us. Just get out the first round. Let's be real. We ain't winning no national title. All right, but we're going to make it tough as heck. Let's beat Drake. Get out the first round. See what happens. If you are a true Coug, Champagne Poppy, a.k.a. Drake, will not be on your playlist at all this week.
We're protesting Drake.
Leave him alone.
I say we pretty liberally when it comes to the Cougs, even though I'm not a Coug. But I'll protest in solidarity. I will protest Drake as well. We just had Kyle Smith on. Obviously, the last question we asked him was like, hey, are you staying? Mm-hmm. What do you think? What did you think of his answer being like, hey, we're working on it. Once a Coug, always a Coug. Love it here.
I think that they're working on exploring all options, as he should. You don't just, put yourself in a spot and say, no, I'm good, unless you end up, this is your last stop, which something tells me this isn't his last stop. I just hope that the Cougs make it competitive enough that he might take a hometown discount and stay put in Pullman.
Fingers crossed. What's next?
Headline rewrites.
Headline number two, the Seahawks added another linebacker over the weekend. They signed former Dolphin Jerome Baker to a one-year deal. What's the real headline?
Just need a Jerome Butcher and a Jerome Candlestick Maker.
Got a full set.
What can you tell us about Jerome?
I like Jerome. Initially, he was on my my watch list, and then I saw that he was going to sign with the Browns or close to it, so then I left him alone. But during my film study, this is your Mike linebacker. This is the piece that you needed to add to Dotson. I think Dotson is a good ball player, but not your Mike. Then we talked to Jordan Reed earlier today. He is the linebacker that Jordan described. He's about 230, 35 pounds, can move a bit, also can get downhill and play violent. Signed a one-year deal, which I like. Played six seasons over with the Miami Dolphins. Come over here, prove yourself. If you're worth it, we'll extend you. Great approach by Mike McDonald and his coaching staff.
Agree.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number three. Tough news to report. The Mariners have released Cole Tucker, who is the husband of actress Vanessa Hudgens.
Devastating.
What's the real headline?
We had one shot to have someone more famous than Macklemore be tied to the Mariners, and we blew it. Are Curtis and I haters for sometimes making fun of the lack of like star power with Seattle? Because Macklemore's more famous, accomplished, and rich than I'll ever be.
True.
But Curtis, you didn't have to say that so quickly.
Oh, sorry.
You're supposed to be like, don't say that.
Oh, don't say that, Stacey.
No, it is true. But it's like I am being a hater for sure, and I'll recognize that. But like,
they march the same like three
so
or four celebrities
saturated.
Out to every event.
That's the thing that gets me. Is it's every event. And when you work these events and you go to these events, you just notice it. It's like when I worked at the mall and you start to recognize the playlist. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Macklemore, Sir Mix-a-Lot is still in the mix, no pun intended. But it's just the frequency at which you see him, which makes it like, come on, we got to have somebody else. But
we could have had Vanessa.
Could have. There's a few NBA players maybe you could get to come back and do some stuff. But in the music world, it's Macklemore.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What's it like growing up in L.A. where, like, there were like A-list celebrities courtside for the Lakers?
It's all right. It's exaggerated. It's not a huge deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's more for people who don't live in LA. Like, oh my God, look, Jack on the sideline. Like, he's been there for like 50 years.
They're sitting in an area where the common unwashed like us can't
peasants.
Get to them. Yeah.
It's very, very true. I just feel like Vanessa would have been one of the people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I would have loved to have her there. And I think she's adorable, and they're having a baby, and I wanted this baby to be born in Tacoma. That's
in
all
the
I wanted.
3.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Tacoma deserved that baby, and now they're moving elsewhere.
Lil Mosey. He's a rapper from Mount Lake Terrace, I believe. Lil Mosey.
Okay.
Yeah.
I believe you.
So. I believe you.
Maybe Lil Mosey.
I mean, do we claim Eddie Vedder? He kind of claims Chicago more than he does Seattle.
Is he from here, though?
I don't think he's specifically from here, but Pearl
if
Jam
you're
got
from
their
here,
start here.
I don't care where or what you claim.
Yeah.
I'm claiming you. So if you are from here, I'm saying, oh, yeah, that's us right there. That's our guy.
The problem is that, like, the two most famous musicians to ever come from here, they're no longer with us.
Right. But incredibly
Jimi
famous.
Jimi Hendrix and Kurt Cobain.
Right. Yeah. Very accomplished and famous.
Yes.
But, yeah. Who's the most famous person from your high school?
From my high school?
Yeah.
Probably, his name is Lawrence. He pretty much produced Nipsey Hussle's last album.
Wow. Okay, yeah. That's fame. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. Curtis, what about you? You can't say yourself.
It might be. We don't have a ton. Couple of random Major League Baseball players. Gary Bell Jr., who played at Gonzaga
okay.
a few years ago. Yeah, not a lot. There was a girl from my high school who like got famous for like a cake decorating YouTube page she had. I forget what she does or how what her YouTube name is, but yeah, she was a cake decorator.
Yeah. God bless his soul. Steve Poole. Tyee alum.
RIP.
Yeah, that's probably for we got to claim Steve Poole.
That's
for
local
a long time.
Legend.
Local
Steve
legend
Poole,
yeah. Steve Poole. God rest his soul. Amazing local legend. That's the one I'm most excited about. And but, then Gary Ridgway also graduated from my high school.
I don't know if y'all know. Stacey got some street cred now. Because I was on Instagram, got caught up in Reels, and they listed the 10 most dangerous places in the state of Washington.
Oh.
And
SeaTac was on
SeaTac was like number 3 or 4 or
watch
something like that.
Watch out for those streets and SeaTac. SeaTac is not dangerous. I don't think.
You're just walking around. La, la, la.
I did. We used to walk around. Everybody. We used to walk to the park. We used to walk to the 7-Eleven over there on 188th. Or, I mean, on Pack Highway. Yeah. I don't know. SeaTac is...
Maybe
I love SeaTac. I claim SeaTac all the time. Because no one ever claims, like, the little areas they're from. Mm-hmm. People get famous and they're like, oh, I'm from Seattle. I'm from Washington. And it's like, no, where are you really from? And then they're like, oh, Snoqualmie.
How north can you go from Seattle to claim Seattle, and how south can you go?
I think that you only Seattle proper. I think that if you, so you can go to like the Green Lake neighborhoods, like North Seattle, Greenwood, like Ballard, still claim Seattle. Mm-hmm. But once you get to Burien, SeaTac, or even like White Center, to me, it's not Seattle anymore. But that's not a bad thing. Like, claim those spots. Claim where you're from.
And you just can't... As soon as you cross the bridge, you're out of Seattle.
We're talking famous people from the Seattle area. 206 says, you guys remember Sanjaya from American Idol?
I do.
Yeah,
he's
from here.
Someone said Anna Faris went to my high school. Yes, I know she's from Seattle.
Chris Pratt.
I was going to say, Chris Pratt's from here, right?
He might be the most famous.
Chrissy
nowadays.
Teigen's from here.
He's like Lake Stevens.
Yeah, Lake Stevens,
yeah.
Where I went.
Chrissy Teigen.
You went to school with
him? Not with him. Oh. I'm not that old.
Oh, my bad. My bad, Matthew. My bad.
Famous mater.
Someone said, did you already say Chris Cornell? Well, he didn't. He famous? Yes. I guess initially we were thinking of famous people from our high schools. But now people are just going through naming different famous people from the state. Vanessa Hudgens could have been one of them. You're listening to Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. Taking a look around the NFL. Coming up next, Kenny Pickett, not happy. Don't go anywhere.
Bump and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacey Ross.
We are taking a look around the NFL where one former Pittsburgh Steeler is not happy. ESPN Steelers reporter Brooke Pryor has this on Kenny Pickett.
Russell Wilson, if you'll remember, tweeted that video that was about a minute long, a hype video of terrible towels and renegades and year 13. Things like that didn't quite suggest that Wilson was coming into Pittsburgh as a backup or as someone just competing for the starting job. Kenny Pickett was frustrated with that, and at that point is when he began to express that he would like to move on from the Steelers. And now he gets a fresh start in Philadelphia, and Russell Wilson gets a fresh start in Pittsburgh.
Now, I don't mean to gas up Russell Wilson, who has certainly had a fall from grace with his first year in Denver, but why on earth, Kenny Pickett, would Russell Wilson clearly be coming in to be your backup? He's at least won a Super Bowl and been to two. What have you done except for have tiny hands and get drafted in the first round?
Ooh.
I'm just saying, Kenny. Like, it is a weird level of entitlement to be like, I'm sorry, he's not coming here to back me up. No, what have you done to prove you should be the starter?
Kenny, in this moment, you are like baby poop. You are like pillows. You are soft.
Soft.
This is the NFL, son. And you're right. Man, my guy's been, what, 9-time Pro Bowler, Russell Wilson?
Yeah.
Has had seasons where he's thrown for 35 touchdowns. Kenny, man, get over yourself. Good luck in Philly, though. It ain't going to get easier over there.
Yeah, I don't mean to make it so personal. This is more me projecting my generational rage onto Kenny, being like, it is a weird level of entitlement when you have proven nothing. To think that someone who at least at one point did is coming here and wouldn't be clearly competing for that spot.
Devil's advocate. What if they told him, the Steelers, like, no, we got you are our guy. We're going to bring somebody in, and you guys are going to be able to compete.
So I'm glad you asked. Then you compete. I agree with ESPN analyst Damian Woody. Exactly. He took issue with Kenny's departure, and he said, you're running away from competition tells me more about you than anything else. That's what I would do. If they told me, you're the guy we promise you, which I don't think they would ever do, and then they brought Russ in, and, oh, he's the starter, or, like, oh, he's, you know, competing for that. Russ is his own independent entity. He's going to promote himself as the starter. He's going to see himself as clearly starting. Every quarterback on every roster thinks he should probably be starting, even the backups. Maybe not Patrick Mahomes, maybe not behind Josh Allen, but, like, you should be thinking you're the best. Bump, you've talked about it all the time. The mentality you have to have coming in is, maybe I don't get my shot, but I am good.
Just compete, Kenny.
Yeah.
That's simple as that. Now I really don't want you as my quarterback. You don't want to compete?
At all.
That's Russell Wilson. You understand who is who in the NFL. Even if he did have a bad year, you haven't had one good year. He's had about 10, 11 of them things.
Yeah, Pickett reportedly canceled, according to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, canceled a workout with receivers the day after the signing broke. He literally immediately quit. And the Steelers went on to trade him. My question is, if you're Kenny, I understand liking the Eagles when he's younger, so maybe there's a part of fandom there, but, like, you're even less likely to take that job from Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. I'm thinking, like, okay, are they just going to use that as a developmental year? You rather develop over there with Philly instead of staying with the organization that drafted you? Makes no sense to me unless I'm missing something. There's always more to the story than we know about.
All right, next up here, Odell Beckham Jr. confirmed on Instagram that he will not be returning to the Ravens in 2024. I don't know where he lands next, but I got to say, I don't know that the Ravens will, you know, really, really be without weapons here. They've added quite a bit.
Nah, they're gonna be just fine. I saw something on Odell Beckham. Someone put this out there and said the most overrated player of this generation is Odell Beckham. Mm. So now I look at his stats. He's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 seasons over 1,000 yards, only about 5 where he didn't have over 1,000 yards. I think his abilities have been great. He's made some of the best catches of all time, maybe one of the best catches of all time. Mm-hmm. You know what he can look like when he is healthy. So we shall see. Beckham, he'll be a guy who can float around for 3 or 4 years because you know you're going to get at least 30, 35 catches out of him, 500 yards, and maybe 4 to 6 touchdowns. Just get him to the playoffs, and he's a guy who can turn up and really affect your team.
I mean, to be fair, on an amazing Baltimore team, yes, they didn't make it to the Super Bowl, but then on an amazing Rams team that did and that won, he was second on the team in receiving yards, 565, still second, though. They spread the ball around a lot. You got 544 for Mark Andrews, 411 for Isaiah Likely. I just think that it's interesting talking about him being overrated or underrated. I think that that amazing catch made people think his ceiling was like Jerry Rice.
Well, the catch, and then he goes 1,300 yards, 1,400 yards, yeah. 1,300 yeah, yards, yeah. Off year, 1,000, 1,000. Since 2020 is kind of when he fell off, but that was when he got banged up, right? Tore his ACL twice mm-hmm. now. If he didn't get injured, maybe we feel a bit different about him, but talent-wise, he's one of the most talented to have played the game. The numbers just don't really match.
He will not, because the Seahawks don't have a need, and I don't even know that they have all the money that they'd want to spend on it, but it would be fun to see him in Seattle. Just any Beckham? One of those guys where you're just kind of curious as to what he looks like.
I wouldn't
like.
Want to see him in Seattle.
You wouldn't?
Nah.
Why?
We already got enough attention seekers. Yeah. I'd be good on that.
Cowboys linebacker Leighton Vander Esch is medically retiring from the NFL after 6 seasons due to a neck injury sustained in Week 5 against the 49ers. There's a video going around on X that shows that moment. Trent Williams blocking Vander Esch into another player. I can't tell if those things just happen in football or it's a dirty play. I think people are angry because Vander Esch was forced to retire, but I feel like this could happen on any play.
Yeah, I don't think it was a dirty play. I think it was an overly aggressive play by Trent Williams, but his job is to block people, and that's what he was trying to do. It's unfortunate. This could happen to anybody at any given time on a football field. It is just dangerous. But when it happens to a guy like Vander Esch, who you felt like could have a long, great career, it's unfortunate, man. So, you know what? He's one of those guys that I can see coming back and coaching and helping out in some other way.
The Jets have signed former Cowboys left tackle Tyron Smith to a 1-year, $20 million deal. Smith was one of the top remaining free agents available, spent 13 years in Dallas, 5-time All-Pro. I'm curious to see what the Jets look like this season. Last year, there was very understandable Super Bowl hype. I mean, you looked at the defensive players. I mean, they had the rookie offensive and defensive player of the years coming back. Lots of great weapons. Signed Dalvin Cook, which at the time felt kind of fun. And obviously had Aaron Rodgers. And as we know, it was a cluster of a season.
When you look at these guys on paper, there's no reason why they shouldn't be a decent team. I think they need one more weapon at the receiver spot. Right now, your starters are Garrett Wilson, Jason Brownlee, and Xavier Gibson. We'll see what happens. They'll probably draft a receiver there. Defensively, they got some guys. Quinnen Williams, got Mosley, Sauce Gardner. They're the one of the more attractive teams on paper, but it's all about staying healthy and having everything work together. If we listen to Mecole Hardman, they don't know how to win. The culture's all jacked up. We'll see if they can switch that up.
The Browns have added another quarterback to their roster, signing former Ravens backup Tyler Huntley and former Pro Bowler. Cleveland now has Deshaun Watson as their starter, Jameis Winston, Huntley, and Dorian Thompson-Robinson in their quarterback room. Pretty nice on paper. Jameis Winston can be really fun. Huntley's a Pro Bowler. Dorian Thompson-Robinson can be really athletic and mobile. Obviously, it's Deshaun Watson's job to lose. They've given him way too much money. I don't know that he ever meets that contract, Bump.
I don't think he will. But I want to focus on Huntley. If you have a mobile quarterback, Huntley is your backup. That's pretty much how it feels like when it comes to Huntley. Pro Bowler, you keep making your money. But Deshaun Watson is such an interesting thing. Is there such thing as too much time off where you lose your mojo, especially at the quarterback position where you got to be on point? We'll see what happens over there in Cleveland. Had a good year last year with Joe Flacco. If Joe Flacco can take this team to the playoffs and Deshaun Watson can't, that is horrible.
Someone said, looking forward to seeing RFK in a suite going gaga over Aaron. We think he's going to get invited to games. All right, we'll do our last story here. Keenan Allen told Chicago media that the Jets and Texans were two other teams that had interest in trading for him before the Bears landed him. Good for the Bears for getting him. I would have loved to see him with the Texans.
Yeah, that would have been fun. I think everybody wanted to see anyone with the Texans because they're the darlings of the NFL. I saw a quote from Keenan Allen that said, look, I just had my best year. I'm not taking a discount. And I looked at his numbers. I go, not the most touchdowns he's had around the yards, around catches, but it's because he did it in like 13 or 12 games or something like that.
Yeah.
Good for Keenan Allen, man. He's going to extend his career longer than it probably should because he has routes. He's a smart guy. If he can stay healthy, he'll be the Larry Fitz of this generation.
We are sending you to the Mariners at 1 p.m. So wrapping things up with what I need to know. Get your questions in 866-979-3776. Your questions, our answers next.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
It's What I Need to Know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, Electric. Get your questions in to the Mac and Jacks text line, 866-979-3776. What I Need to Know, it doesn't have to be sports like this one. Is it okay to not tip if a restaurant has bad service but good food?
Nah, I tip regardless.
I do too.
I always tip, even if the service is horrible. That doesn't control the hostess or the, I know it doesn't go to these people, but I just feel like for the experience, I should tip. Now, I'm a good tipper. So if you go above and beyond, you don't get hooked up. But if you just do standard and there's no vibe, then you get a standard tip.
I've never not tipped ever in my life at a restaurant. Like, I've gone to Starbucks and not tipped. Mm-hmm. Like, there are certainly places where tipping culture is like, you talked about it one time in Get Off My Lawn, where it'll be like a self-service kind of thing. And they're like, do you want to leave a tip? What? No, I checked out myself.
Exactly.
But if it's a restaurant, if it's a place with food, I've never in my life not tipped.
Yeah, me either.
Let's see what I need to know. I'm having a difference of opinion with my wife about salad dressing. I say ranch is overrated. She says it isn't. Who's correct?
Ranch is hella extremely overrated.
Thank you.
I mean, I like it, but I'm over a Thousand Islands type.
Is ranch even best used as a salad dressing?
No, it's a dip. Mm-hmm, or it's used on like Red Robin, how they have the Whiskey River barbecue chicken, whatever, it's like in there as like a little flavor enhancer. I just think ranch, we treat ranch like it is the national bird. You know what I mean? Like, we treat ranch
it's
apple pie, it's bald eagles, it's America. No, it's not. Who decided ranch was that? Who decided ranch was the stand-in for all dressing everywhere, where every barbecue, every potluck, every everything had to have ranch? Who decided that?
America.
I'm just saying.
Big ranch, that's who.
Caesar, objectively better.
Big
Italian dressing,
Valley.
Objectively better. Like, there are other dressings that are just, I'd rather have a balsamic vinaigrette than a ranch.
Balsamic's bomb.
You know?
Yeah.
Get ranch out of here. I mean, it's fine. It just, I think we give it a lot of importance. I'm trying to think of like the athlete equivalent, like who's incredibly overrated. People see this person as like so much better than they are, and it's like they're fine.
Scottie Pippen.
Oh,
Scottie.
I think he was underrated.
Nah, I don't mess with Scottie. I'm just playing. That's the first thing that pops in my head.
Yeah.
I don't even think I believe that.
I don't know. Not Johnny Manziel, because he obviously didn't become anything. I don't know. I'll think of it. Let's see. What I need to know. Hey, Bump, what are your predictions for Gardner Minshew this year?
I think they will win eight to ten games. 8 to 10 games. He'll throw about 20 touchdowns and 10-plus interceptions.
Someone said ranch is not a salad dressing. It's a dip for wings and fries, and that's it. I mean, people use it as a dressing.
Yeah,
it
people
is.
Do.
Yeah,
use it
people.
As a dressing.
It is a dressing that people use for other things because everyone's obsessed with it for some reason. What I need to know is the linebacker tandem of Dodson and Baker a lateral move, or are the Seahawks better than what do the Seahawks have now? Something better than what they had?
Ah, man, it's hard because Jordan Brooks, I think, is better than both of those guys right now. Obviously, we'll see what they do, but I also feel like. Bobby Wagner kind of evens things out a little bit. It's tough, man, because Bobby's numbers are crazy, and I get that. I don't know, tackles could, it inflates things a lot. But I'd say right now it's a lateral move, but you could get more out of less because of their paychecks.
What I need to know, is it going to be a statement year for Muchena Nwosu?
I think he already had a statement year.
Okay.
His first year with the Hawks. I think this is just business as usual, and Chen is going to go out and do his thing.
What I need to know, someone said, do you guys participate in brackets for the NCAA tourney? Obviously, if so, who y'all got? I haven't done one. I'm sure you two have your eye on it, obviously. Who do you have in your final four?
It's hard to say right now. Yeah. I mean, you throw UConn in there, obviously. They're having a good year. I don't know. I got to dive deep. Brackets were what just opened up today, right? So
yesterday,
we got a couple days.
Yeah, give me a day and I got you.
Maybe we'll do our final four on air or something. What I need to know is Sam Howell better than Justin Fields?
Physically, no. Playing the quarterback position, it seemed like he processed some things better, but sometimes the physical will buy you some time and give you a higher ceiling. So I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
But he had a decent year last year.
Someone said, don't be that person who hates popular things because they're popular. I actually hate those people that hate popular things because they're popular.
Oh, the people that make it their like personality,
yeah,
hating things?
Yeah, like, oh, I don't do that. No. That's not being me. I am telling you that I don't like ranch. It's fine. It's a little tart. It's a little, like, it's just not for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why it's always, like, if there are two salad dressing options, ranch will be one of them. And it always annoys me because I like five other dressings more.
I don't like watery ranch. I like a thick ranch to dip, like, wings in or they call them tater fries now at Taco Time.
Yeah.
That's a nice thick ranch to dunk.
In general, the people who just hate everything because it's popular are annoying. I don't disagree. I just think you can dislike ranch and it's perfectly fair. Also, unanimously, we agreed as a show that ranch is not the best dressing. Let's see. What I need to know. What's the update on Kate Middleton? I'm so glad you asked.
You tell me.
BBC changed their logo from red to black.
That's Curtis's theory, is that BBC is anticipating something.
What does that tell us?
Yeah, we don't really know. Since track and field doesn't get much attention, what's the furthest you've ran in a game?
Furthest I've ran in a game?
I don't know if you know how to calculate that.
Well, when I played the World's game, we used to average like 7.5 miles a game.
God. It's insane.
Don't they have like GPS trackers now for NFL players? Like they wear it on their pads and stuff, and their analytics department can
looks
see
like how. A sports bra.
Yeah.
What I need to know, where do you think OBJ goes? I have no idea.
No clue. Wherever he wants.
Yeah.
Wherever he wants.
Basically.
He's not going to get big time money, but he can play a role.
Okay, we're back to the tipping one with a scenario from Jen in Beaverton. How about if you go to a cafe at a place like a zoo and you just pick up a prepackaged item, like say some really overpriced kettle corn, then they ask you for a tip. There's a tip screen at the register. What do you do?
I typically just tip. Because it's almost like the way they present it. Oh, there's a button for you to hit. Here you go. And then it's like, Goodness, what if I also don't tip? I don't want to feel bad.
Well, and the people behind you, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, if I go to a bakery where they do that thing where it's like, you didn't do anything. You grabbed a scone
right.
from a thing.
Right.
But then there are people behind me looking at me. That screen's big. That tablet's big. They know if I don't tip or not. And then I have to tip so that I don't look like a bad person. What I need to know. Everyone's texting about ranch. I need new questions. 866.
You struck a nerve.
I know. 866-979-3776. Someone said a better question to ask. How about if Sam Howell is a better fit in Grubb's offense rather than Justin Fields? It's hard to tell.
It is, man. Because all you have really is Michael Penix to look at his offense, right, to compare to Roma Duse and Paul McMillan and all that. Yeah, I don't know. I think that Grubb is the type of coordinator that will adapt play calling to his quarterback.
What are you most curious to see with Grubb's offense? Like, if there was a question you could have answered.
The explosive plays. I know they're not going to be at the clip it was at UW.
Yeah.
But how much of that are we still going
to
see?
Last one. What do you do every time you go to T-Mobile Park, whether it be get food, sightsee, whatever? What do you do?
I work.
Yeah. Fair.
I take a lap. I take a lap during the game.
Get up and walk around.
Mm-hmm.
See, but sometimes it gets so crazy crowded
yeah.
that I'm just fighting through. But I'm a short person. So
if I'm with my family, I stay put. But if I'm by myself, I'll take a lap.
Yeah, it is nice to walk around on weekday games.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. Weekends, forget about it.
I don't touch that.
I don't go anywhere there. Let's see. What I need to know is JJ McCarthy overlooked right now.
I wasn't
super impressed by him, but is he one of the more talented quarterbacks in the draft?
I think he is right where he needs to be, around the third, fourth, or fifth quarterback.
Yeah. And I think he might go number four if there's some kind of crazy trade. Like, we could see him go higher. I don't think that means he is the fourth best player, period, in this draft. That's never what that means. All right, you guys, that will do it for us today. For Michael Bumpus, Curtis Rogers, Matt Nelson, I'm Stacey Ross. Don't go anywhere. We got Mariners baseball coming your way next.